Hi, my name is James Brundage. I'm a tester on the PowerShell team, and today I'm going to walk you through some of the basic container types you'll encounter in WPF and WPK. WPK is the Windows Presentation Foundation PowerShell kit, and it ships as part of the Windows 7 resource kit and will be available on MSDN Code Gallery. So WPK allows us to script UI and WPF and PowerShell, and we're going to check out some of the basic containers that you're going to encounter in WPF and show you how to use them in PowerShell and what PowerShell's done to make it a little bit easier to use. So the four ones we're going to cover today are going to be Stack Panel, Dock Panel, Grid, and Canvas. Almost every UI you're ever going to encounter inside of WPF has at least one of these, probably more than one. Grid and Canvas are the ones you're going to run into in more advanced applications, and Stack Panel and Dock Panel you're going to run into in more basic applications. So we're going to start out with Stack Panels. And Stack Panels, well, they place content stacked. They're not particularly hard to understand. This Stack Panel is going to go ahead and going to show me a Stack Panel with two buttons in it, a top and a bottom button. Since I haven't given an orientation parameter to the Stack Panel, it's a vertical Stack Panel by default. And there we go. There's my top and bottom button. Again, content stacked vertically by default, but it can also be stacked horizontally. I do this with the orientation parameter. So this one's going to have a left and a right Stack Panel. You'll notice, by the way, in this particular screenshot, a little bit of the failing of Stack Panels. They don't quite resize like I'd want them to. They size to the horizontal maximum size of a label. So I've got a label, and then a big bunch of white space. That keeps growing bigger the bigger I make my window. And they're not really ideal. So Stack Panels aren't quite the best way to go, and this becomes obvious pretty quickly. Another similar panel that can get you a little bit further down the path is something called a Dock Panel. So we're going to show you a Dock Panel that looks like our first Stack Panel. And as you can see, I've got a top and a bottom button as I did before. But the resize is a little bit better. The last docked one wins. And this Dock Panel is similar to our horizontal Stack Panel. And in this case, the last docked will again win, and the right size should resize. Now, here there's a ubiquitous parameter in all of the UI scripts in WPK that is something like new button, new label, even new Dock Panel will have this dash dock parameter, which will describe how it's going to dock in any other panel. What this is actually doing is it's setting what's called a dependency property. If the UI element inside of a Dock Panel has a dependency property attached to it that it instructs it how it should be displayed in that Dock Panel, the Dock Panel will obey it. This is a pretty common paradigm of sorts of things to see in WPF. Grids also work this way. The column and row you're going to see in a grid is going to be defined by a dependency property that's been set on the button or label inside of the grid. And canvases also work this way. So what WPK has done is it's taken some of these really common layout-oriented dependency properties, specifically dock, top and left from canvas, row, column span, and row span from grid, and it's made them ubiquitous parameters on any UI element. So new button has a dock, it has a top, it has a left, it has row, column, row span and column span, and so does every other UI script you're ever going to run across. If you go and repackage your scripts for later for other people's consumption, you too should probably consider adding a dash dock parameter and a top and a left. So as we can see, this dock panel is a slight improvement, but it's still not quite the layout that I would want because my left parameter here has been scrunched. So they're okay, stock panels and dock panels, but they're tedious to align. And for more complex alignment, you should try using a grid or a canvas instead. Grids have a series of rows or columns. In WPK, you can either provide a fixed number of columns or rows, like three, which would be three rows of equal size, or you can provide a series of pieces of information that will describe how the column's laid out. This would either be a fixed number, like a number of pixels, the text auto, which is an automatically sized column, or a number and then star, which is a ratio of the available space, one star being one of, ratio of the available space, two star being two ratio of the available space, so on and so forth. And in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to create a grid that has two evenly spaced rows and a column or a pair of columns. One is auto-sized, and one is one star. And this is a pretty common sort of grid to get, because this is going to be a grid that'll have a fixed series of labels on the side and a bunch of input on the other side. You always want the input to be bigger than the labels. You always want the labels to be automatically sized to the biggest label, and this gives you that behavior for almost nothing. So we're going to go ahead and show this now. And here I have my first name and last name. And as I resize it, it resizes correctly. The rows keep getting bigger, and the column that I'm interested in keeps getting bigger. If I change this around, then the label would keep getting bigger instead. So you should really notice that grid layouts are much, much, much cleaner than stack panel layouts. And they can also do a little bit of automatic handling of resize, which stack panels can't. There's one special grid you should know about, because it will save you the problem of putting things in a specific row and column, and that's a uniform grid. And you can just go ahead and put any item into uniform grid, and it'll put them all in a nice square grid for you. So I'm going to use this to make a really simple dial pad, well, minus a zero. And again, you can see the same sort of grid behavior as I resize. The buttons resize with me. So the next interesting control we're going to look at is the canvas. And the canvas is really as free-formed as the grid is rigid. Any item that is placed on a canvas will be placed at a given top-left coordinate. And that's all it cares about. Top and left, as were row and column, column span, row span, and dock, are parameters that are added on to any UI element. So I can use new button here with dash top, just like I was able to use it with dash row and dash column and dash dock earlier. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off by creating a canvas of a fixed size, 640 by 480. The reason that I'm doing this is because canvases can hold anything, they don't actually have a size in and of themselves until you give it to them. They'll simply render as much as they can in whatever container they're in. So we're going to go ahead and take 1 to 9 again, and we're going to create a random button here at a random location. The top of the button is going to be a maximum of 480. The left of the button is going to be a maximum of 640, which should give me 10 buttons around everywhere on the screen. And there we go. Now, these buttons don't do anything quite yet, but I've got a quick example of the flexibility of canvas layout. On a slight other note, I also have a quick example of the design pitfalls of a canvas layout. While canvases may be more freeform, freeform design doesn't necessarily always build the best UIs. So if you're looking to build a very simple data collection in form, then I would go ahead and stick with a grid or even a stack panel if it's easier for you, rather than get into using canvases and adding animations. Pizzazz isn't worth sacrificing working. But if you'd like pizzazz, canvases can be great for animations. Because you just have an arbitrary top and left, you can slide items around a canvas in whatever way you'd like. There are two commands that we'll cover in a later video called move control and start animation that are built into WPK. And both of these commands are designed to make life significantly easier when you're dealing with animating UI elements, especially animating UI elements from any position to a fixed set of positions, which is something that's very tedious to do in XAML or in procedural code, but it's very easy to do with a pipeline. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the example we just showed, and we're going to add a little handler to the button, this onClick here, which will just take $this and pipe it into moveControl with a top of a random maximum 480 and a left with a random maximum 640 over a duration of a half second. And this will give us a quick way that we can show how we can use animation with it in Canvas. So we'll go ahead and show that. And as I click different buttons, they pick random spots and they move to them. Most of the interfaces you're going to encounter in WPF are going to use one of these four basic types that we discussed today. They're either going to be using very quick and simple and cheap stack panels or dock panels, or they're going to have a lot of grids. And very rarely you'll see the fully canvas-based application as well. Knowing how to use these particular UI elements will help you understand both the WPF code you run across in looking at projects on the internet and other WPK scripts you run across. And using them effectively will help give you better layout at lower cost, which will help you see some of the power of WPF and WPK. So as always, I really hope this helps, and I'm glad that we could spend a little time talking about the four major basic UI elements or containers inside of WPF. That is, again, for recap, a stack panel, a dock panel, a grid, and a canvas. And I do hope this helps. I'll see you later.